The reading this evening is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, and can be found on page 1042 in the Church Bibles. Great passage. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Hi, thank you very much indeed, Wendy. We've sung and we've said that we're here in the presence of God. Is it a good place to be? Good. Most of Reigate aren't here. Most of Reigate aren't in the presence of God. Most of Reigate don't sit at Jesus' feet. That bit was unscripted. It just came to me before we started this evening, and I thought it was quite important to say it. In fact, it's so important, I might say it again at the end, just in case you've forgotten it. But it's one of our challenges, isn't it? Let me start to say what I want to say this evening by explaining that there are two things which often crop up in what I say, two terms that I use a great deal. One, because if I use them, I know I've prepared something about them before. But that's not the real reason. The real reason is that I think they're really, really important. And I want to begin this evening, before we focus on this passage, just by saying a little bit about each of them. The first is the phrase, living as God intended. I use it a great deal in talking about Scripture because I feel it sums up really what Scripture, what the Bible is all about. The Word of God is all about living as God intended. Let me explain to you. It crops up all the time. It starts off in the creation narrative when we are told through Scripture that God created the world as he wanted it to be. And he put us in the world to be as he wanted us to be, to live as God intended in the world that God intended. And then through the fall, when we, humanity, went against God's wishes, and we saw some of the consequences which we've lived with ever since about not living as God intended. And then through the spread and growth of a fractured humanity, constantly living as God intended has been what God has wanted us to do. The prophets tried passing on to us what God had said to them to get us back to how God intended. And then Jesus, whom Jesus sent to tell us and to show us how God wants us to be. And of course, it doesn't stop there because it goes on through the Holy Spirit being sent to energize us to live as God intended. And then through the spread of the early church and Christians beyond that trying so hard to be what God wanted, but not always getting it right. And then right up to the end in Revelation 21 in Scripture, we see what God intended all along. Living as God intended, surely that's why we are here. And my second thing is the word, a single adjective, countercultural. I love it, not only because it's a long word and I like long words, but because it implies being a bit of a rebel. If you're countercultural, you're a bit against the grain, you're a little bit anti, perhaps sometimes just a bit awkward. And I find that quite stimulating and exciting, because that's how Jesus was. What made him so special and challenging was that he was so countercultural. The Son of God was and often appeared so at odds with how the culture and norms of the time were. And that remains our constant challenge. Most of the rest of Reigate aren't here because it would be countercultural to be here. They'll be at home or in the pub or in a restaurant out for a walk. They won't be sitting at the feet of Jesus. In the short episode that Wendy read to us, great passage, as she said right at the beginning, if you didn't hear it, we have a brilliant illustration of Jesus the counterculturalist. These five verses encapsulate so much of what the whole of Scripture is all about. They provide us with an insight into how we might live life as God intended. And whilst the episode covers in these verses took place a long time ago, I think it is still staggeringly relevant today. Let's take a closer look at it. Verse 38, it begins. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to them. Now, what scene does that create in your mind? What do you see in that account? I think, if I'm honest, I've always envisaged it as a small, intimate group in a house in Bethany. A gathering of a small number of people together. It's a bit like having home group. I think the picture that's painted by that verse is the sort of home group picture of a good lot of Christian people all sitting down and Jesus leading the study. Wrong answer. I don't think it was. If we look at it in Luke's gospel, these five verses come after a series of events which are all about crowds. They're all about large numbers of people. And by this time in his ministry, Jesus was a celebrity and was being followed around by a seriously large number of other people. So maybe we're not looking here at a gentle little group of sort of five or six people sat at Jesus' feet, just Jesus and his mates. We're looking, perhaps, at 100 or so people. And I think we need to think in big numbers. And whilst Jesus might have wanted a little bit of peace and quiet, he wasn't going to get it. It wasn't going to happen. And we're looking at a crowd trying to get into and surrounding a small house. And when Martha welcomes Jesus and his contingent into her home in Bethany, she just saw lots of faces, most of whom she probably would not have known. Busy, busy, busy. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Put yourself in Martha's place for a moment. How distracted would you be if 100 people came to your house and said, oh, can we just come in? Can we just sit down? And adds to this the high cultural importance in the Near East of hospitality, with its keen fear of dishonoring people, especially important ones. And then remember, it's Jesus. He's the Messiah, the most important person in your nation's history. Wouldn't you be distracted by how many people were coming, how your place looked, or how you'd welcome this crowd of people, and where they're going to sit? You haven't got 100 seats in your house. Or would they like refreshment? How are you going to feed them? I'm sure we'd all be distracted by that. Now, looking at the situation from the outside, I think it's tempting to be critical. Oh, for goodness sake, Martha, Jesus is in your house and you're too busy to listen to him. But isn't she just doing what most of us would do? If Jesus came to our house, if all these people came, what would we do? We'd surely try to be the perfect host. We'd surely try and provide for our guests. Being busy, welcoming, finding space, putting out refreshments. Isn't that just what we do? Isn't that part of our culture? It's what they did in Bethany. And I think it's what we do in Reigate. And if I was being controversial, which I am, it's what we do at St. Mary's. We put on the welcome. Busy, busy, busy. That's what we are. And we often criticize Martha for being busy and distracted and missing the point. But actually, isn't Martha just being one of us? She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. It seems to me that Martha isn't the strange one in this story. Mary is. What is remarkable is that Mary wasn't distracted. She ignored the things you have to do for guests list, so she could listen to Jesus. And this irritated Martha. She was working like crazy while Mary just sat there. Martha was stressed. She wasn't happy with her sister, whom she saw as lazy and self-indulgent. And exasperated, she finally appealed to Jesus. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. Now, there are two responses to that question. It's a bit like one of those old films where there are two possible endings. The one we want and the one we get. I'm sure many of you would have liked Jesus to say, Martha, you're quite right. Thanks for doing all the hard work and making me and all my guests feel so welcome. Mary, could you take over a bit and give your sister a break? Let her have a chance to sit down. I think sometimes that's the answer we'd quite like, as we are busy. That's what we'd like to hear. Martha getting some recognition for her efforts, some thanks, and Mary being told to do something too, not just sit around doing nothing. Because that's what we like too. Recognition, gratitude, affirmation. You can't deny it. It's what we are. We do things and we like to be noticed for doing them. Especially when we felt ourselves have been put out and we've made sacrifices and we've gone that extra mile. But what do we read? Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. I wonder what those present thought of Jesus' reply. Jesus didn't commend Martha. He seemed to reprimand her. To just about everyone present, Martha's service probably appeared to flow from a gracious servant heart. She was walking the walk. She was being what she felt a good host should be. But Jesus called it differently. He saw that Martha was serving out of anxiety, not out of grace. He recognized that stress and anxiety often drove Martha. It's mentioned twice in verses 41, 40 and 41. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And in 41, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset by many things." But what was at the root of all her anxieties? Martha was anxious over how she pleased her guests and maybe how she impressed Jesus. She was troubled at the thought that her home and service might reflect poorly on her and on her family. Maybe we need to examine our similar anxieties and motivations. Maybe we need the challenge of recognizing our inner Marthas. And that applies just as much to the Marks and Martins and men, just as much as it does to the Marys and Marthas. Are we driven by similar anxieties? Are we driven sometimes to do too much? To volunteer too often? To stress over our own inadequacies? And through so doing, to feel diminished and not worthy? And just like Martha, this anxiety blinds us all to the one thing necessary and makes many unnecessary tasks feel compulsively urgent. We display all the characteristics of human doings, created to do, not the human beings that God created to be. This kind of anxiety is very subtle because it is rooted in our culture, which we're beginning to recognize isn't life as God intended. Oh, I could have. Those bits can go, I've used them. Which isn't life as God intended. It is a selfish root. But its fruit looks deceptively like unselfishness. It's the desire for approval, dressed up to look like the desire to serve. It's my caring what you think of me, dressed up to look like my caring for you. It can be subtle, that we don't see it clearly. It looks so much like the right thing that we believe it is the right thing. That's why Martha was confident that Jesus would agree with her about Mary. Yet countercultural Jesus spoke against Martha's view of things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. It will not be taken away from her. Mary had chosen the one thing necessary. And at that moment, Mary was more enthralled with Jesus than with herself. She cared more about what Jesus said than what others thought of her behavior, or her home, or her hospitality. And because of this, Jesus commended her choice not to serve. Jesus' gentle rebuke of Martha wasn't a reprimand, but an act of love to her and indirectly to us. As I've already said, we are all Marthas at times. And through this correction, Jesus is reminding us how life is intended to be. But when we feel compelled to serve out of a self-conscious anxiety over what others think, it is likely that we are serving ourselves, not our King. Our world, our culture, our country, our town demand work, worry, stress, and busyness. Jesus affirms life as God intended by freeing us from this slavery, inviting us to stop working, rest with Him, and listen to what He says. In 1 Kings 19, we read of the account of Elijah on Mount Sinai listening out for God. Through wind, earthquake, and fire, all demonstrations of God's power, Elijah heard nothing. All the noise, all the energy, all the busyness drowned out any voice. Until in verse 12 we read, after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. In Psalm 46, verse 10, that is picked up simply in the verse that says, be still and know that I am God. And finally, Jesus himself invites us, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I won't solve your problems. I'll give you rest. And our challenge in a busy, stress-filled, anxious world is to be countercultural. As we endeavor to live life as God intends, let's do what the world wouldn't. Sit down with Jesus and listen to him. And as I said right at the start, most of Reigate are now much too busy, much too stressed, much too worried. And we need to introduce them to Jesus so they know who they need to sit down with. Amen.